The Necessity of Prayer by Edward M. Bounds. Text-to-speech licensed for distribution by audiotreasure.com. 2004, all rights reserved. Chapter 1, Prayer and Faith. In any study of the principles and procedure of prayer, of its activities and enterprises, first place must, of necessity, be given to faith. It is the initial quality in the heart of any man who essays to talk to the unseen. He must, out of sheer helplessness, stretch forth hands of faith. He must believe, where he cannot prove. In the ultimate issue, prayer is simply faith, claiming its natural yet marvelous prerogatives, faith taking possession of its illimitable inheritance. True godliness is just as true, steady, and persevering in the realm of faith, as it is in the province of prayer. Moreover, when faith ceases to pray, it ceases to live. Faith does the impossible, because it brings God to undertake for us, and nothing is impossible with God. How great, without qualification or limitation, is the power of faith! If doubt be banished from the heart, and unbelief made stranger there, what we ask of God shall surely come to pass, and a believer hath vouchsafed to him whatsoever he saith. Prayer projects faith on God, and God on the world. Only God can move mountains, but faith and prayer move God. In his cursing of the fig tree, our Lord demonstrated his power. Following that, he proceeded to declare that large powers were committed to faith and prayer, not in order to kill but to make alive, not to blast but to bless. At this point in our study, we turn to a saying of our Lord, which there is need to emphasize, since it is the very keystone of the arch of faith and prayer. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We should ponder well that statement, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Here is described a faith which realizes, which appropriates, which takes. Such faith is a consciousness of the divine, an experienced communion, a realized certainty. Is faith growing or declining as the years go by? Does faith stand strong and foursquare, these days, as iniquity abounds and the love of many grows cold? Does faith maintain its hold, as religion tends to become a mere formality and worldliness increasingly prevails? The inquiry of our Lord may, with great appropriateness, be ours. When the Son of Man cometh, he asks, shall he find faith on the earth? We believe that he will, and it is ours, in this our day, to see to it that the lamp of faith is trimmed and burning, lest he come who shall come, and that right early. Faith is the foundation of Christian character and the security of the soul. When Jesus was looking forward to Peter's denial, and cautioning him against it, he said unto his disciple, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fall not. Our Lord was declaring essential truth. It was Peter's faith he was seeking to guard, for well he knew that when faith is broken down, the foundations of spiritual life give way, and the entire structure of religious experience falls. It was Peter's faith which needed guarding. Hence Christ's solicitude for the welfare of his disciple's soul and his determination to fortify Peter's faith by his own all-prevailing prayer. In his second epistle, Peter has this idea in mind, when speaking of growth in grace, as a measure of safety in the Christian life, and as implying fruitfulness. And besides this, he declares, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. Of this additioning process, faith was the starting point, the basis of the other graces of the Spirit. Faith was the foundation, on which other things were to be built. Peter does not enjoin his readers to add to works or gifts or virtues but to faith. Much depends on starting right in this business of growing in grace. There is a divine order, of which Peter was aware, and so he goes on to declare that we are to give diligence to making our calling and election sure, which election is rendered certain adding to faith which, in turn, is done by constant, earnest praying. Thus faith is kept alive by prayer, and every step taken in this adding of grace to grace is accompanied by prayer. The faith which creates powerful praying is the faith which centers itself on a powerful person. Faith in Christ's ability to do and to do greatly is the faith which prays greatly. Thus the leper lay hold upon the power of Christ. "Lord, if thou wilt," he cried, "thou canst make me clean." In this instance, we are shown how faith centered in Christ's ability to do, and how it secured the healing power. It was concerning this very point that Jesus questioned the blind men, who came to him for healing, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" he asks. They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it unto you." It was to inspire faith in his ability to do that Jesus left behind him that last, great statement, which, in the final analysis, is a ringing challenge to faith. "All power," he declared, "is given unto me in heaven and in earth."